top tier. And the idea that there's not pointer here, this is that for just six. And if you did this, you realize what we have here. Of course, six. But actually, we quit using the statistic because there are some guests who try to point and broke the screen. And after that, we could quit using the statistic. That's good. So today, my topic is Bitsova, probably, first version of the computation power of the quantum system. And actually, this Robin just gave yesterday the nice introduction talk on quantum information. So, and I suppose that he well motivated the general audience. So I shouldn't be motivated the general audience. And also that I think I need not motivate the experts. So the question I'd like to address today is the one of fundamental question, namely the what is the origin of computation power of quantum computer. And today, of course, if I ask the experts and also the theoretical physics, they may have own opinion, well, you can say anything. Of course, the power comes from entanglement or superposition or interference or exponentially large Hilbert space or blah, blah, blah. And of course, all the kind of the truth in some aspect. But today, I somehow take advantage of the measurement based quantum computer. Because then, in this model, the role of entanglement is very highlighted. So, in order to address this, question, this is very convenient because somehow I can consider entanglement property in this model. Then what I like to somehow convey today is basically in this model, the amount of entanglement we have in this model basically reflects the computational power of this computation. And of course, I will somehow phrase it more carefully later. And after that, also I observe physically sometimes we have some phase transition of computational power correspond to the exponential change of the entanglement. So this somehow the what I'm saying is intuitively very true because we expect if the amount of entanglement is many, then we expect it more powerful. And I somehow format this intuition into more precise mathematical form. So this is the outline of my talk. I already motivated. So I briefly remind you of what is measurement-based quantum computer. And after that, I introduce entanglement condition for computation power. And I introduce a model of phase transition where somehow computation power undergoes the exponential change. So this is the measurement-based quantum computer. Maybe sometimes I may call one-way quantum computer, and it was introduced by Lausendorf and Brillier, and actually Robert Lausendorf has been working here. And the resource in this model is basically multi-partite entanglement. Namely, initially we have to prepare multi-partite entanglement set called 2D cluster set, which exhibits some specific correlation. And the mathematical this is defined as a joint eigenstate of this correlation operator. And it looks a bit artificial now, but I will explain how to say prepare such data. So this is somehow resource we have. And also we have to use single qubit project measurement and also classical communication of such measurement outcome to carry on computational process. And before I go into the computational process, I just also introduce graph set. This is somehow the class of multi-partite entanglement state. And they have some common description in terms of the graph. And namely, I consider a graph, something like that. This blue. Can you see? Nothing? Okay. I have a does it work? Yeah, I push on two buttons. Some correspond the blue, but it's not for some. Oh, this one. No, it's dead. It's dead. Oh, thanks.
so the somehow the in order to define graph state, we consider a graph. And the here the vertices correspond to qubits, and the edges of graph somehow represent the control phase interaction among them. So the if we like to produce graph state, basically we have to produce all qubits in plus state, which is the an eigenstate of power x operator. And after that, according to the shape of the graph, we apply control phase state. That's it. So the, in this sense, they have some same prescription to prepare state. And the, of course, the, if the underlying graph is two-dimensional lattice, then this is called the cluster that I just introduced. And of course, this class also includes many important much faster tensor states, which are useful in quantum information, such as the ZZ state. And also this corresponds to the error correction code over. And also the second, they are somehow joint eigenstate of the correlation operator. And this is just the thing I thought in the previous state, but the, I don't use explicitly this property. So the basically, as I said, basically the resource is the cluster set. So the I have entangled state according to this two-dimensional lattice, and the I implement computation. Say suppose I like to implement some quantum algorithm, then depending on this algorithm, the I can find the what kind of direction I have to measure in single qubit projective measurement. And today I don't explicitly explain how to implement a particular unitary operation, but the, you can believe basically I can simulate quantum circuit in that manner. So the here somehow the I just the pick up the one nice figure from this paper, and it says that this is the horizontal line, the quantum wire, and the by measurement we can simulate unitary dynamics of the quantum circuit. And the this this model somehow suggests that the using this adaptive measurement scheme and this the feed forward of the measurement outcome, we can somehow carry on unitary dynamics or the quantum computation in this sense. So the then we realize that the, in this model, the role of entanglement is very highlighted because the computation is carried through its consumption by local measurement and cluster computation. So the initial resource is entangled state, and I use part of entanglement to simulate unitary dynamics. And the this dynamics is somehow implemented by LOCC in our terminology. So the here I first consider the role of entanglement for computational power of this measurement-based quantum computation. But first I address actually universality of quantum computation, because this corresponds to the some most powerful potential of quantum computation. But later we will see that apart from technical advantage, also it's nice to somehow characterize universality first, because I don't need to consider speed up in comparison with classical computation directly. But nevertheless, also the, we can see that the often the non-universal quantum computation may allow efficient classical simulation. And we have some belief that the universal quantum computation will not be simulated efficiently by classical computer. So this is the definition of what this is the universality of quantum computation. In standard circuit model, in standard circuit model, quantum computation is called universal if we can implement any n qubit unitary gate operation in arbitrary accuracy, right? And the we know that the in order to do that, we can consider a universal set of elements, I guess, and we can somehow construct by composing such elementary gates. And the famous universal set of elementary gates is the CNOT and arbitrary single qubit rotation, or there are many. And here I take the slightly different approach, and namely the in this the one-way quantum computation, it's more convenient to consider entanglement approach. I mean, I consider entanglement compatibility by local measurement in this model. Why is that? Because the, as I already told you, in this model, I have the initial entangled resource, and using single qubit projective measurement and classical feedforward of measurement outcomes, it's capable to simulate any intelligate operation deterministically. Right? And also, the, accordingly, it's capable to produce arbitrary corresponding output state in the right-hand column. And so in this sense, we can say that the, in this model, we have some resource state, right? And with size capital N, using LOCC protocol, I can produce output state C with in the subset of the qubit and the other measures. So that I can implement this LOCC protocol deterministically here. And the, as already this Lausen and Brugger showed, the two different, if I prepare cluster set in the beginning here, then I can somehow implement arbitrary unitary gate, and also the, I can produce arbitrary output state if I start from this. So the, here, I define universal resource in this manner. A set of states is called universal for measurement-based quantum computation. If for arbitrary output state, see, there exists resource state, psi k, which produces this output state deterministically by LOCC. This is exactly the same. And the reason I have the set of states here is after that I like to consider scaling of, I like to consider scaling of entanglement in this resource. So the, if I say more than, basically, we can imagine this index corresponds to the size of resource. And I like to somehow evaluate the scaling of entanglement in this set. So the, basically, I assume some uniformity in this set, and I don't put any computational power in this set. Basically, we can imagine this is the, just the different size for same kind of set in the same manner as cluster. So the, basically, we can generalize or extend such framework into more various settings, and but I don't do too, I don't go into details here. But basically here I just defined this universal resource with fidelity one here, and also the I also the require success probability of LOCC must be one, and the we can be relaxed in such conditions. But the most important issue I like to address here is the efficiency. And namely, the, I call universal resources efficient if it is capable of preparing efficiently as well any state preferably efficiently in a standard universal model. So the basically the idea is the, I don't like to include exponential overhead hiddenly in the resource state. So they have basically entanglement scaling must be somehow same among the families of efficient universal resources. So I just consider polynomial overhead. And hereafter, if I just naively say universal resource, I will mean efficiently universal in my talk. So the, I'm moving to the section three. So the, here, I like to introduce entanglement criterion for universal quantum computation. Idea is very simple. And if any significant entanglement feature exists where a set of universal resource that is not available from some set size, then it cannot be universal. And the more precisely, basically the idea is we take some entanglement measure, which is non-increasing under LOCC. So the, I defined this symbolic in a couple of slides ago. And here, this condition, right? So the, if this is the phi can be converted into phi prime deterministically under LOCC, I just did not by. And the, if this condition is satisfied, the entanglement is somehow decreasing. And the, this is somehow standard definition of entanglement monotone. Although here, I also consider the change of the size here. So the, in my definition, this the C prime might be smaller in size compared to the original. And it turns out there are many nice entanglement measures we can take for our study, like a Geometric measure or Schmidt measure. But here I focus on this entanglement we use for our study. And using such entanglement measures, we can formulate criterion for universality as follows. Namely, the set of states psi cannot be universal if the supremum of entanglement in this set is strictly smaller than the supremum of entanglement which can be obtained in arbitrary states. Because if this situation happens, then there exists some set which cannot be produced from this set. So according to my definition, this state cannot be universal, this state. And of course, we can see that on this left-hand side, this supremum is actually coincides with the supremum of entanglement of any universal resource state. Because this is by definition the reason of the universal resource state. And for convenience, of course, we can take the 2D cluster set as a standard reference, and we can basically calculate this supremum. And if I consider, my strategy is basically I calculate this supremum, and if some set doesn't reach this supremum, then this another set is not universal. And this is the strategy I will take. And here is the definition of entanglement with this. So this is intuitively bipartite maximal entropy. And the definition is a bit elaborated and looks complicated. But the idea is very simple. So I have a set of qubits, and I associate this qubit into subqubit tree structure. And I fix some tree structure. Then I somehow pick up one edge, then it determines basically bipartition. And I calculate the entropy between two bipartitions. And the first thing here, I somehow maximize this bipartite entanglement by looking for the optimal edge here. And after that, I like to minimize this value by changing the tree structure. And I don't explicitly explain why I like to define such quantity, but the nice point is we can show that this quantity is entangled monotone, namely non-increasing under deterministic velocity. And also we can show that if I consider 2D cluster state, then this value is larger than order square root n. It means that it scales basically order n, or it scales somehow. It grows unboundedly. And as I said, if same entanglement scaling up to polynomial overhead must hold true for any family of essentially universal resources, it means that any universal resource must have equally this diverging entanglement with it, which scale faster than logarithmic. So this gives us the first theorem. It says any set of the graph state whose entanglement width is at most logarithmic, or more precisely polylogarithmic in n, then it is not universal resource. And this theorem says that basically interaction geometry determines the value as a resource for computation. And for example, if I consider one dimensional cluster set, then we will see that we can see this entanglement with this is always one, regardless of the size of this cluster set. So we can say that, of course, this is one. So it cannot be universal. And if I consider also GHZ set, which corresponds to this star-like graph, then also this is one. So they also, if I consider the set of the GHZ state, then this is not universal proper. And what is interesting is actually such graph states allow efficient classical simulation. Namely, if I consider graph state, And if the entanglement with scales logarithmically, the measurement-based computation on such graph scales can be efficiently simulated by classical computer. The idea is because if the entanglement with somehow scales logarithmically, basically we have somehow, we may find a nice convenient description to follow the computation. And this, the number of parameter is expected to be polynomial in such case. So there is good chance to simulate measurement based computation on such graph. And the, it was proven actually this is the case for such things, and there are many research on that. And now I briefly mentioned the universe of the entanglement resources. And the basically, as I said, the idea is that in order to be universal resource state, the amount of entanglement must scale fast, faster than logarithmic in some sense, right? And the, I didn't explain all measures. And the, this is the basically the class of universal resource. And if this amount is the basically scales logarithmically, there's some chance to be simulated efficiently by classical computer. And the, here I just show that the, this entanglement scaling, namely the entanglement mass scale first, is necessary condition for universal resource. And if we like to show that a set of somehow states is really universal, we really have to somehow construct the proof to show that the, this new set of the, this size also universal. Namely, the, I have an entanglement criterion just introduced. And here I show the how to somehow broadening up this the universal resource state from non-universal resource state. And the observation is, as I said, the so the, suppose I have some candidate for universal resource state, blah, blah, blah. And if I like to check whether this can be universal, then only I have to show it. I, if I can somehow explicitly construct LOCC protocol, which produce arbitrary size of 2D cluster state, I mean this, if I can somehow produce the cluster state in polynomial overhead, then it indicates that this another set is also universal. Because this direction is somehow already shown, cluster set is known to be universal, so if I show this another direction, then it proves this another set is universal. And in that way, I show several other kind of states can be universal. And not surprisingly, it turns out all graph states associated with 2D regularities are universal resources. So if I consider two-dimensional regular tiling, there are only three possibilities: hexagonal or square or triangular vertices. And the, today I don't show explicitly how to somehow prove they are universal, but as I said, the idea is starting from candidate, I somehow explicitly change this graph by LOCC protocol, and I try to convert this candidate into the 2D cluster. And actually, this is the case. We can do such, we can find such protocol which works in constant overhead. And the, basically, I'm moving to the, this, the main part, phase transition part. And the, this observation somehow motivates to consider these 2 points. Namely, first thing is the dimensionality was key for computational power in this example I show. Namely, I've just shown all the 2D regular lattices are efficiently universal. And actually the amount of entanglement is basically order n, or more precisely, this is bounded by order square root n. On the other hand, if I consider one dimensional chain, then I've proved that this is not universal, and actually measurement-based quantum computation only is actually simulatable efficiently by classical computation. And this amount of entanglement, if I take this measure, then this is 1 regardless of the size. So it's somehow tempting to consider such question, namely what will happen at an intermediate fractal-like dimension here. So if I consider, say, dimension 1.7, then is this inverse or not? And the another motivation for my model is following. I just show the universe of universe of entanglement resource. And here, in the scaling of this entanglement, then always this change looks gradual. Because there always there some function which is, there some scaling function which is much faster than logarithmic, but this which is still much slower than polynomial. So the, in this picture, somehow this boundary, although there I have very clear boundary, but this boundary looks very gradual. But the question is, if I consider some physical model, the whether this change of this computational power is also the gradual or not.
Nitpick for a moment. Inside the yellowish region of universal resource families, do you mean that it's lower bounded by n to some constant?
And
not necessarily. I mean big O. So you mean a lower bound in there, right? Like.
Yes, yes. So then what I show is if the entanglement scale. So in this manner, then.
And what was n again? Sorry.
N is some polynomial, corresponds to some polynomial overhead, I can say.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yes. So then this is still faster than polynomial. But the I in some slightly popularization, but I'm a bit sloppy. But basically, this somehow scales. Polynomially. Yeah. Yes, so I like to introduce this simple model to consider phase transition of computational power. My model is very highly motivated by physical implementation of one-way computation using cold atoms stored in the optical lattice. And I don't think I have to explain how it works for theoretical physics. But it's nice, a bit promising idea. And the model is every site is occupied independently with type of fashion probability. And after that, we implement control phase gate to produce graphs. So if the site is initially empty, this the control phase gate doesn't work. So basically, after that, it becomes whole without edges. So there are many holes here. And also, I assume the locations of holes are heraldic. Then we will see the just for notation. So I consider L times L background lattice, and on each side, I consider such type of occupation probability. And in this model, somehow, meets well with my motivation observation. Namely, if the p is getting smaller from 1, then effective dimension is decreasing from 2. Because I have many holes. And also, this is the site of occupation probability p corresponds to the physical perfection in filling the 2D square lattice. So in reality, basically, we like to store a single atom per site.
But there is some fluctuation. So sometimes we have such the empty site, and this corresponds to this problem. Then the question is the value of the resource getting worse gradually if this the physical implementation gets severer? And as already my title of talk suggested, I will say answer is no, and there is some sudden change at some moment. And this model is somehow strongly related with percolation model. Namely, it is known that if this is the site occupation probability p rather than critical value, and for this case, this is 0.592, then percolation happens. Namely, it is known that order n giant cluster exists in this region. In other words, the majority of qubits belong to the single connected component if the site of occupation is larger than critical value. And in this regime, often this regime is called the supercritical region. And on the other hand, if this recital expression is smaller than this critical value, it is known that there are many small pieces of the connected component, but there doesn't exist any giant component. So there is big change in this property. But nevertheless, I have to somehow remark this property. Namely, even if we know that there exists the order n connected giant graph state in supercritical regime, but it doesn't necessarily mean this resource is already universal, because there are many non-universal resources, such as the 1D cluster state, or the 3 graphs, or many other graphs, with size n, which are not universal, as already shown in previous slide. So here, I explicitly show, actually, this is the whole theory in supercritical is universal by considering polynomial time algorithms. So the statement is if the site expression is larger than the critical value, then we can convert this whole theory into the perfect 2D cluster state with a constant overhead. And this implies that also the entanglement with, or the amount of entanglement is order n in this list. On the other hand, if I consider the subcritical region, namely the site expression is smaller than critical value, then we can show that this is no longer universal, and actually this resource is classically simulated. And the amount of entanglement is bounded above logarithmic. So let me explain from the supercritical phase. So the here idea is we consider polynomial time algorithm to concentrate perfect cluster state with constant overhead from a faulty lattice. And there's a nice algorithm to do that. But the basically idea is we can somehow identify disjoint passes in horizontal direction and vertical direction. And we can show that actually we can expect the order S disjoint passes always. So this is just some constant overhead. And just if I fix this title expression P, there's some order L disjoint passes in both the horizontal and vertical direction. And I briefly demonstrate how it works very quickly at the t is 0.85, and actually the Steve Flamier just implemented a nice algorithm by mathematical, very cool.
So the idea is so this white is false,
we cannot say. So this red corresponds to the horizontal disjoint passes, and this blue corresponds to the disjoint vertical passes. So using classical maze solving algorithm, we can identify this one. But in order to extract nice regular lattice structure, finally, we have to be tidy, and we like to somehow find the very convenient shape for this the final extraction. And I don't explain details, but gradually, finally we can get to this regular structure. This corresponds to the honeycomb lattice. And as I said, we can somehow identify and also extract this quantum resource by polynomial over. So this argument somehow indicates the entanglement width of the whole series with such n is actually order n, because we can somehow transform this guy into the perfect 2D cluster set with constant overhead. And this guy is of course bounded below this guy. So initially we have order square root n. And on the other hand, if I consider a supercritical phase, then I'm going to show this is actually logarithmically small. because the, as I said, in this regime, the, there are many small islands which are just connected. So there are many small islands, and there doesn't exist any giant component. And in such case, the, it corresponds to the product state of the some graph state, and the entanglement width of such state can be shown to be maximum of the entanglement width of some single component. It implies that the total amount of entanglement is determined by the amount of entanglement of the most entangled connected single component, right? And we can see that this the largest, the size of largest, well, this largest component is almost surely logarithmic n in supercritical regime. So it indicates that the, this value is smaller than logarithmic n. So it says that the, in this regime, the computational power is not efficiently universal. And the, also the, because this entanglement width is logarithmically small, we see immediately any measurement-based computation on it is efficiently simulatable by classical computation. So the, by these two results, I've shown that the, if I consider this 2D cluster set with 4, then there is phase transition at this percolation. Namely, in the supercritical regime, the, this resource state is as efficiently universal as the perfect 2D cluster set. On the other hand, the, if I consider this subcritical regime, measurement-based computation is suddenly efficiently simulatable by classical computation. And this picture suggests that the, we can consider the amount of entanglement as an order parameter in some. And they correspond to the, this change of the computational power, entanglement changes exponentially as this critical value. So the, let me summarize what I said. So the, I like to address today the question on the origin of quantum, the origin of the computational power of quantum computation. And taking advantage of measurement-based quantum computation, I can somehow rephrase this very vague question into this concise form. Namely, I somehow try to answer from which entanglement future and how does the measurement-based quantum computation obtain its superior computational power compared with classical computation. And the, basically, there are two methods. One is the scaling of entanglement reflects computational power. Namely, the, in order to have efficiently universal resource state, the amount of entanglement must scale faster than fully logarithmic. And the, this motivates to consider physical situation where, so the, in my, this 2D cluster set with hold, there exists phase transition according, in, according to the change of the imperfection. And the, here the, also we saw that the entanglement changes exponentially in accordance with the, this phase transition of computation power. And the, talk is based on these three references I listed here. And the, thank you very much for your attention.
So I have two questions about your conclusion in yellow there. Mm-hmm. The first is you've looked at a particular model where the errors in your cluster state are heralded losses.
Right.
And then so the conclusion seems to be that entanglement width is the thing that is necessary. But I'm a little worried that that's because you looked at this very particular model where you either have, you know, a perfect cluster state or that thing is missing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is there more reason to expect that in other models of error, we would still have entanglement width being the critical resource?
I haven't made the, this is the universal, I mean, this, I didn't mean to the, this entanglement width is the universal order parameter for phase. What I said is that I consider some simple model motivated by this the optical routing, and the, in this model, there exists phase transition of computation power. And actually, this is the entanglement width is very convenient, or the convenient in the sense to see two phases So as you said, this is the scaling of entanglement with just text as somehow necessary condition for universal resources, right? But in this model, also we can show that somehow by construction, if I consider this supercritical region, we can somehow convert into the really non-regular 2D glass subset, right? So somehow this is maybe this is better way to answer your. So the idea is somehow in physics we have some order parameters to characterize space transition. And in very first slide I show that I have necessary condition for universal computation, and I can take several entanglement measures. And in order to detect this exponential change, only I can take with actual entanglement units. So the entanglement units is very sensitive to detect this computation, to detect the change of the computation power, but the others are not. So usually I'm not surprised even this is somehow situation dependent. What is the second question?
My second question was about the statement that this is where the computational speed up over a classical computer mm-hmm. comes from. And I'm just checking, as far as anybody knows, we still don't have a way to get classical computation out of a measurement-based quantum computer, right?
I'm saying that would be classical simulation of measurement-based computation.
But if you break the cluster state, mm-hmm. as far as I know, you go straight from BQP, quantum computational power, mm-hmm. to nothing. Right, there's no BPP regime in between that we know of.
No, it's just trivial. The feed-forward mechanism allows you to do the classical computation just ignore the state.
That only gives you
parity
L.
You can have a completely noisy state.
You don't need a universal classical computer to do the control. You can do feed-forward with just a parity L computer, which is Clifford Gates.
Do you mean for the non-Clifford Gates measurements?
So I haven't done this work, but according to Dan Brown 2 weeks ago, you can do the entire classical control of the computer using a sub-BPP controlling device. So, in other words, if you break the computer, as far as I know, you break it from BQP all the way down to something very weak. And I was just curious if you had any comments about that.
I'm not sure about how can I break this thing?
Well, you break it by damaging the cluster state, right? I mean, eventually you lose the power to do BQP complete problems because you don't have enough entanglement to do it, right? And I'm just wondering if there's any reason to think that you could go through this phase transition where you lose quantum computational power, but still have.
But my statement is this, I consider the subcritical resource, then no matter how you somehow measure, and try to somehow implement some operation. Of course, you can do something, but this is simply simulatable by classical computer. So does it make sense?
I mean, there are just because something can be simulated by a classical computer doesn't mean that it's also capable of simulating, right? It might be very weak. I could feed a maximally mixed state, and that would be useless. I'm just wondering if you study this sort of intermediate regime where you can't do quantum, but you're not all the way broken yet. It's a very open-ended question.
Yeah, but in some sense, in this regime, we know that the amount of entanglement is somehow logarithmic. Maybe this is that. Because if I consider this subcritical regime, and if this lattice is very big, although there are many small components, but this default size is so big, you may find the enough size to implement your computation, right? But my statement says that in such case, basically you have to pay exponential overhead to the because this is exponential small forward.
Okay, one last quick question. Can you say anything about the computational power right at the critical point? Would that be? Maybe stronger than the classical computer.
On the critical point, in the population, if I just consider population phenomena, then people believe that the population doesn't have on the really critical point. So this really suggests that the computation power belongs to the subcritical region. But this is just